the opposition are championing nuclear at the moment. Where do you think that comes from?
Well, there are so many possible explanations. One that we can rule out from the start is that it makes sense as a cost-effective way of ensuring energy security and reducing greenhouse emissions. That's certainly not on the cards because it doesn't stack up at all, and the coalition has bent over backwards since the Howard days to avoid taking serious action on climate change. Mm-hmm. And at every stage they've done as much as they possibly can to slow the development of renewable energy sources. So I guess in a nutshell it would be this is the climate change policy when you're not having a climate change policy.
Okay, yeah.
I think most people within the coalition would understand that nuclear power is not a viable or cost-effective solution for Australia. And even if we were to push ahead down that path, it would be 20 years before we had a reactor, by which time all the coal-fired power plants will have been closed and replaced by renewables already. So, but yeah, I think for the furthest right on the political spectrum in the coalition, the game plan is to continue to do everything they can to slow renewables and to continue to do everything they can to support coal, including extending the lifespan of coal-fired power plants and potentially building new ones. And beyond that, if you wanted to understand the reasons for that, you'd really need to speak to a psychologist, I think. But the way to frame it is the culture wars. It's got a lot to do with the culture wars. And Tony Abbott, God bless him, I think he said the quiet parts out loud, which is that the coalition should promote nuclear power because the Labor Party hates it, mm-hmm. and the so-called Green Left hate it, and the unions hate it. So that's Tony Abbott's rationale for promoting nuclear power. So I think for all of us who call ourselves progressive or green lefts or who are trade unionists, we just need to start supporting nuclear power and then we'll get the coalition to oppose it. It's just a reactionary, oppositional approach they have. And that's what passes for energy policy in the coalition. It's quite sad. It doesn't have to be that way. And in terms of the culture wars, there's been this bright idea from successive generations of coalition idiots that promoting nuclear power is a great way to divide the environment movement and to divide the Labor Party. But it never has. It only divides the coalition. So when John Howard was playing this game 15 years ago, in the lead up to the 2007 election, 22 of the coalition candidates in the election explicitly distanced themselves from John Howard's promotion of nuclear power. So it split the coalition, and of course Howard lost his seat at the election and the nuclear policy was ditched the next week.
Mm.
So I'm just, I think there's a fair chance we'll see some sort of a repetition of that this isn't going to work out at all well for Peter Dutton. It doesn't make any sense in terms of energy security or cost effectiveness or climate change. It makes no sense. And I think they're going to pay a price for that. And I don't know whether Dutton will be replaced at the election or shortly after the election, but I'd be fairly confident that the nuclear power policy will be ditched. They've been mesmerised by public opinion polls, which seem to show quite a level of support for nuclear power. Some of those have been push polls, with biased questions. The most recent one came from the Murdoch media. But even the ones that aren't biased, there is a surprising level of support. But I think what the coalition fails to understand is that, you know, at a general level, people don't mind saying they support nuclear power, but if you ask them if they want it in their backyard, they're going to say no.
Mm.
And that's what all of the polls indicate. The most recent one I'm aware of was 5 years ago, and it was published in The Guardian, and that had 28% of respondents would be happy to live in the vicinity of a nuclear power plant, and 60% would not. So, and all politics is local, and the coalition is going to be fighting the election in 150 electorates in the coming 12 months, and it's going to have this battle across all of those electorates, or at least many of them. And by and large, Australians don't want a nuclear power plant in their backyard. So I think that's where they're misreading the polls. They're forgetting that old axiom that all politics is local. Peter Dutton thinks that the shadow energy minister, Ted O'Brien, is brilliant. I would say that Peter Dutton's an idiot and so is Ted O'Brien. And I wouldn't underestimate that general stupidity as a basic explanation for what's going on, because just go back 2 or 3 years and Prime Minister Scott Morrison had to deal with these issues and he wasn't going to have it. And he was quite explicit saying, I'm not going to be giving Labor a weapon to knock us over in the election with. And Turnbull wasn't having it at all. He describes nuclear power as a weapon of mass distraction for the coalition backbench, for the right-wingers. And this legal ban we've had on nuclear power, it was initiated under the Howard government before Howard did a backflip and decided he was pro-nuclear, but it's Howard-era legislation which was retained by the Abbott Liberal coalition government, retained by the Turnbull coalition government, retained by the Morrison coalition government.
Yeah. So, just a question out of left field: are you noticing a bit of a right wing surge?
Well, not really. Not in Australia. I follow US politics very closely, and there's obviously a massive surge there. There's a cult which has embraced a third of the population, and it's very, very frightening. It could get a whole lot worse in the United States as well. I think there are some within the right of Australian politics that would happily establish a very large cult and do all sorts of disgusting things. Well, they are. I mean, the Voice referendum was disgusting, but not, I think we're basically still mostly sane in Australia, but that doesn't mean it's going to stay that way.
Sky News.
Well, I just see them as a bubble. I mean, I have to follow the whole Murdoch Sky bubble thing pretty closely, and they do have a significant following. But you know, it's only, 18 months, 2 years ago that we elected Anthony Albanese as Prime Minister, him potentially the most progressive Prime Minister we've had in a very, very long time. And at the same time, we had the wisdom to get rid of Scott Morrison, who could have been taken us down that far-right cult pathway. So, I'm not hugely worried at the moment, but one part of that, and I just alluded to it, was the Voice referendum. You know, I think it's just such a winner for right-wing politicians in Liberal and Labor and the Nationals. If you want to be racist and you're clever about it, it's going to work to your advantage, and they've been doing that for decades in Australia. I think Howard was a real line in the sand. He was prepared to be much more racist than previous prime ministers. At least that's my experience. And of course, in the United States, that whole cult, the whole MAGA cult, has got racism at its very core. So, I mean, there's a lot to be worried about, but I'm just not as worried as I would be about if I lived in the United States, where there's a real chance that I get Trump again. I mean, what happens after that?
Perhaps he'll stop AUKUS.
Yeah, he'll stop AUKUS. Yeah. Well, the first thing Trump 1.0 did when he was elected in 2016, can you remember?
Yeah, it's...
he killed off that trade agreement that we were all fighting so hard against. So,
the unbelievable. And all these court cases he's facing are giving him more following.
Yeah, I just can't even believe it. It's scary, and the court cases are not going to solve the problem. He's going to the election. He won't be in jail. He could win it. But getting back to your question about a resurgence of the right wing, well, I mean, the flip side of that is that the social movements are not strong. They're not as strong as they were 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. It's as simple as that. I don't know why that is or how to turn it around. We could speculate from now till the end of time. But, yeah, I mean, I think that worm can turn too. We can build up the social movements. Yeah, I mean, it's happened before. I just remember one time in the 1990s when there was a resurgence in the environment movement, and even for veterans who'd seen it all before, no one could explain it. It just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, having said that, mostly things happen because a lot of people do a lot of hard work, of course.
Is there any more that you want to add to that?
Not really, Sue. I think we've covered a fair bit, haven't we?
Yeah. I think it's very interesting. So, thank you for that. I'd like to do a follow-up a bit later, too, if you would.
Yeah, of course. Anytime.
Yeah.